All right, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter number 1. Colossians, chapter number 1. If you found your place, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Thankful to get to preach over here. Well, just thankful to get to be over here on a Sunday morning. Been over there with the kids, and we're having a great time, and we've seen kids saved, and looking forward to what God's continuing to do over there, but continue to pray that God will fill that position. I know that He will. I know He has plans for that, but I'm having a good time right now. I mean, I got three kids in there anyway, so we're just going to have a good time. Colossians chapter number 1, continuing the series I started in the book of Colossians last month, and really getting had an introductory message, so we'll mention some of that for some of you that weren't here for that message in the introduction. But this is really going to be one of the first messages that goes through some of the first verses. So we're going to start out Colossians chapter number 1, and we're going to read from verse number 1 down through verse number 12. So follow along as I read aloud. And the Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, and it doth also in you. And since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth, as ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience, long-suffering with joyfulness. Verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And we'll stop our reading there. Really, it's an introduction. It's a greeting from the Apostle Paul. And we're going to look into this subject today entitled, The Truth Helps. The Truth Helps. So let's pray together and we'll get into it. Father, thank you so much for gathering your people together. Thankful for the opportunity to preach your word. God, I know that you've laid a message on my heart. And I pray, God, that you'll just direct it, that you'll direct my lips, that you'll remove distractions today, and that you'll help us to be a people that are responsive to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. The truth hurts. Wait, that wasn't the title of the message. The truth helps. But maybe when you first heard that, that's what you were thinking, is the truth hurts sometimes, and rightly so. Many times the truth does hurt. Well, why does the truth hurt? Well, most of the time it's because we've believed something that wasn't true for so long that we have a hard time accepting the truth. Like the haircut you got. And you like it so much, but the style went out a long time ago. But we're finding out, though, aren't we, that those styles, they just come right back. I mean, have you seen how many mullets are going around? That's one that I thought the world will never see again. And we are seeing it, and we are seeing it. Some of you remember when I came to Bethany, and I had my hair really pointed forward, and then in the front, I would spike it up in the front, and I would kind of point it in the middle, just like that. And so that's the kind of hairstyle that I had. I thought it was a pretty good hairstyle. I mean, I started wearing that hairstyle in high school, and I got married in that hairstyle, and I thought I was doing pretty good until someone approached me and told me that my hairstyle looked like the rear end of a duck. And I realized that I maybe held on to that hairstyle a little too long. You know what? It kind of hurt. Shortly thereafter, I changed my hairstyle to something a little bit more traditional, just combing it over like it has been for centuries. Who knows how long? I realized that everyone didn't see my hairstyle the way that I did. Today, we're going to get back into the book of Colossians. We're going to add some truth to the pack. You know, last week or prior when we started this series, we got into the book of Colossians and we packed our bags and we headed out on the trail. We found out that the book of Colossians is Paul writing to some people he had never met. However, these people had gotten saved as a result of Paul's ministry in that region. And we give praise to God for that. We found out that these new believers in Colossae had everything they needed for this spiritual journey in Christ alone. They are going to be able to face the battles. They didn't need Paul. They didn't need someone else. They needed Christ. And that's what we came across with is the title of the series is Complete in Christ. And that's the theme of the book. And if you get into chapter number 2, that's what you're going to find is Paul reminding them that you are complete in Christ. That it is Christ plus nothing that gives you the victory, the satisfaction, and the purpose in life that you need. So often we feel defeated and inadequate and unhappy and without direction simply because we have left behind the most important thing on this spiritual journey. We've left behind the fact that we are complete in Christ. If we don't take anything else, and maybe you'll remember this, sometimes when we travel and we get into the car, we always have to turn around because we forgot something. And Christians are getting out on the path of life, and they are leaving behind Christ and their walk with Him. And Christ is what you need to be successful, to be have that purpose. You needed Him for salvation. You need Him for daily help and direction, and you will need Him for eternity. Today, we intend to take the truth of Christ and really anchor it to our life. Now, just starting out with an illustration, an introduction. Many of you, if I said the name Rob Bell, it would ring a bell to some of you. Some of you probably not, and that's okay. I'm perfectly okay if you don't know this guy, actually. Rob Bell pastored a large church in Michigan called Mars Hill Bible Church in the early 2000s. And at its peak, Mars Hill Bible Church was running over 10,000 people every Sunday. However, the church is not what Rob Bell is mainly known for. Instead, this man is mainly known for a book that he wrote entitled Love Wins, published in 2011. Now, I wouldn't spend the money on it, so I actually printed the cover and I just taped it to this book, okay? So this is not it. This is a representation of what his book looks like. Rob Bell, Love Wins. So, it sounds like a nice title. What's the big deal about a book that talks about love winning? I mean, that's a good thing, right? Well, this book was extremely controversial. In fact, it would cause many people to leave his church, and Bell himself left that year to pursue working with Oprah Winfrey in Hollywood. And I hope you understand that my intention is not to bash this man, but when you write a book like he did, it opens you up to some scrutiny. So, what was so controversial about this book? Well, the premise is that no one will go to hell because God's love will never allow it. How could a loving God send anyone to hell? Instead of accepting the truth that's written in the Word of God, Rob Bell rewrote the gospel to tell everyone that the gospel is better than that. The gospel is better than the message that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, that is your eternity. The gospel is better than that, he says. That God will never send anyone to a place of eternal torment called hell. But here is the truth. We do not need to rewrite the gospel. Can I get an amen right there? We do not need to rewrite the gospel. We do not need a better gospel. We need a better understanding of the gospel. In fact, a better understanding of the gospel will cause us to realize that there cannot possibly be any better news than the truth. We ought not to be shocked that God would send someone to hell, but we ought to be amazed that God would want to save any of us. So let's look at some truth this morning. We're going to look at some truth from the Word of God. Not from this book, but the Word of God. The truth. Number one, the truth about authority. The truth about authority. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timotheus our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul starts his letter off like he does many of his letters. But I want you to understand something. The Apostle Paul, he didn't start the book and start several of the books he wrote with his name because it was some prideful effort on his part to be noticed or to be recognized. That's not the reason that Paul wrote his name right here. It starts with his name, Paul, and it says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Paul has been sent as an ambassador. Paul has been sent as an ambassador of Jesus Christ. He is speaking as a representative of Jesus Christ sent by God himself. This means that we ought to listen to what he has to say because it's coming from the Lord. Paul wasn't trying to puff himself up or to give himself recognition. He was simply saying, listen, this is the structure of authority. This is the way that the Word of God is coming to you. He's trying to get them to understand the authority by which the truth is coming to them. Wow, is that lost in our world today? We don't care where things come from. We don't care what the source of information is. We don't care sometimes where it's coming from. Just as long as it sounds good and it matches what we believe already, we're okay and we'll go ahead and accept it. We don't go to find out where information comes from sometimes. I was listening to a Christian radio station the other day in my car, and they had people calling in with questions, and I just like to listen to the answers sometimes that they give. And so the host was there, and people would call in, and they would have a question. And I was intrigued because a man called in, and he said, you know, whoever the host was, he said, why do you not use the Apocrypha? The Apocrypha. I've got another book here. Now, I actually own this one. This is an Apocrypha. And it's not necessarily because I wanted to own it, but I had a lot of questions from people about it. And so I've read it, and I've studied it. And so that's why I own a copy of that, the Apocrypha. And so it was intriguing to me. And if you're not familiar with the Apocrypha, it's a collection of books that were rejected from being part of the Bible. And there's a reason for that. Why weren't they included? They didn't have the authority from the word from God to write. And we find out that because they say so themselves, actually. In some of these books that are written, they say that they're not an authoritative writing. And the New Testament scriptures never refer to them as well. And so they teach false doctrines, and they also have historical errors. Therefore, they cannot be included because of these issues. And I got to thinking, though, you know, the Apocrypha was written before the time of Christ in the 400 years between the Old and New Testament. Teaching things that are false is not a new concept. Rob Bell isn't the first, and he won't be the last, to write a book that's full of lies. In fact, we can go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and one of the first things that the serpent did was question and twist the Word of God. His command was clear, and that we've been going over that in children's church, going over creation, how God said, don't eat of the tree. And then they come in and the serpent twists God's words and says, God's hiding something from you. This is really good. You need to take it. And they took it and they were deceived. The deceiver has been deceiving and using people to deceive and writing books that deceive all along the way. See, it matters where and who you get your beliefs from. It matters. You can believe whatever you want. You can be sincere about what you believe, but you better make sure that it's coming from the right authority, and you will find yourself following a bunch of lies instead of the truth. Maybe the Apocrypha isn't popular these days, but we've got something called YouTube. And whether you realize it or not, lots of people are getting their beliefs from all over the internet, from thousands and thousands and millions of different videos that say different things. And without trying to find out any kind of authority, we just take it as truth. And we plod ahead in life with lies. We have to know what our authority is. We have to know where the truth is coming from. We have to know. And Paul is telling them, listen, I am giving this to you by the will of God from God. And that's what he wants to establish at the very front with these people in Colossae. You know, it's amazing to me what people will believe off the internet, and they have no idea where the information's coming from. And we warn our kids about all the dangers on the internet, but many adults need to be warned as well. That the internet is full of lies. Listen, if you've got questions, read your Bible. Talk to your pastor. Listen to the preaching and teaching of your church. Get study recommendations from people that you know and trust. Why? Because of what Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, the Bible says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, and if you believe we're in the latter times, say amen. Amen. In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Because there's going to be all kinds of doctrine spread all over the world, and we see it all over the place. It matters where your truth is coming from. Make sure you are following the right authority. Don't be led astray during this information age. All right, point number two, the truth about the gospel. The truth about the gospel. Verse number 3 through verse number 9, we're going to find that Paul is really praising the Lord, praising the Lord that these people at Colossae got saved, that they called on Jesus Christ to be their Savior. And even though Paul himself didn't come through that town, what happened was Paul came near that region and the message started spreading here and it started spreading here and it started spreading here and it worked its way south until it got to Colossae. And those people at Colossae accepted what was told to them. They accepted the gospel message, and they got saved. Gospel message literally means good news because Jesus Christ came there. There's now good news for mankind. There's good news for all mankind. Well, in order for there to be some good news, there has to be some reason that we needed the good news, right? The good news is there. And I'm sorry, Mr. Bell. I'm sorry, but you know what? The Bible says that the reason that we need good news is because there is a place called hell. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That means that there's none of us that has lived a perfect, sinless life. We have broken God's laws. We've broken God's commandments. And just in case we were wondering, he writes Romans 3:23 and he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He says in Romans 5:12, whereas by one man, sin entered into the world. All the way back to the beginning of the world, Adam and Eve, sin, one by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And let's remember Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. Matthew 25:41 says, then shall he say also unto them, What are we talking about? This death. We know that all mankind dies, but that's not the end. There's a second death. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devils, or for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:46. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 20:15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And I could go on and on and on. Mr. Bell, hell is a real place. And people are really going there. And your book is not helping people understand the truth. Your book is helping people feel good about going to hell. The truth is that hell is real, the fire is real, and it really lasts for all of eternity. In fact, Jesus himself gives a warning about this inescapable fire in the book of Mark. Mark 9:43, it says, And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than to have two hands and to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And he repeats this over and over and over. And he says, if thy foot offend thee, if thy eye offend thee, he's saying basically, listen, it's better for you to enter into life. If your hand is keeping you from accepting Christ and accepting Jesus Christ as your Savior, then it's better for you to cut it off than to go into hellfire for all of eternity. And for your foot and your eye and anything else that's keeping you from it, because that is eternal. This life is temporary, but it is eternal. The fire will not be quenched. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and all those that sin against God will be cast in there as well if they don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Unfortunately, this is a reminder to all of us, there is none righteous, no, not one. That means all of us. This is what we deserve. The Bible says all have sinned. This is what our future holds without Christ. But the gospel message, the good news message, is that God has made a way of escape. Amen? God has made a way of escape. God is offering new life in Christ. If there was no hell, or if you could save yourself by good works, then why did Jesus have to come and die? This church at Colossae was a group of people that accepted this free gift of salvation. Paul is simply praising the Lord that this gospel message came to Colossae and they accepted the truth and now they have the hope of heaven. What about you? I don't know everybody that's here. I know many of you, and I know many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I was listening to Brother Stepp talk earlier, and he said if you're a guest or maybe you're a visitor here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and I was thinking to myself, if you're a member here and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, today needs to be the day of salvation. We are not promised tomorrow. Was there ever a time in your life that you accepted the free gift of salvation? If not, I want to read you two verses to think about. James 4:14, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Death will come sooner than you think, and you'll be standing before God sooner than you think. You better be ready. There is coming a day that we will all stand before God and give an account of our life. And what you did with the gospel message, the good news of Jesus Christ, will make the difference between heaven or hell. And don't let anybody that writes any kind of book tell you otherwise. Because that's what the Bible message is. the truth that came to the Apostle Paul from Christ Jesus himself, and he was spreading that message in the book of Colossians. He was saying, listen, this is the gospel message. It is Christ plus nothing. And number three, the truth about prayer. The truth about prayer. Verse number 9 through verse number 12 really begins Paul's prayer for them. He really, it's almost like Paul wrote a prayer list for the people of Colossians or at Colossae, and he just maybe copy-pasted his prayer request into the book right here. And he's telling them what he's praying for specifically about them. And that's what's happening in verse 9 through 12. Read it with me. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and the wisdom and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering and joyfulness. You know, Paul is just, and verse number 12, he's giving thanks to the Father for him. But he's really, these requests that are here, we're going to break them down here in a moment. But we see that the right authority gives us the proper direction. The right authority gives us the proper direction. I've been working on some cars lately, and I will tell you, you start working on something and you look up like how to do something, and you're a year off on vehicle, or you're some cylinders off on a motor, and you've got some different things, and you're following these instructions line by line. Brother Jim, are you going to be off a little? You're going to be off a little. There's going to be some things that are in a different spot than they used to, than you think, because you got the wrong thing here. The right authority gives you the proper direction. The gospel gives us new life, but prayer gives us the strength to live every day for God. Prayer gives us the strength that we need. Paul writes out his prayer list for these saints. And if I could put it in a list right here, I would put these three things: that they would have understanding, that they would have the knowledge of God's will, the understanding from the Lord, that wisdom from the Lord, that they would seek that wisdom from God. Number two, that they would be fruitful, that they would take the knowledge and the understanding and the wisdom, and that they would impart it to other believers so that they might walk worthy of the Lord, that they would be fruitful in their lives. And then number three, that they would be strengthened. Strengthened with what? Patience, long suffering, and joy. That they would serve the Lord, but they wouldn't just serve the Lord, come and serve the Lord just for a moment, that they would blow in, blow up, and blow out in the ministry, but no, that they would be a people that were prepared to face the battle day after day after day, year after year after year, decade after decade, no matter what comes to the city of Colossae, that they would be strengthened to handle it, to manage it. And that their reliance would be on the Lord. All right, teens. Michael Jordan, okay? Now I got your attention. I know you've been sleeping, and I'm just kidding. They're not sleeping, but I said Michael Jordan, so pay attention, because I know a lot of you like Jordan shoes, so here we go. It's probably one of the best, if not the best, and I don't think there's a debate on this, but I think he's the best player the NBA has ever seen. He gave this insightful look into the incredible success that he enjoyed with this quote. He said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and I missed. I failed over and over again in my life." And then he said this, "And that's why I succeed." What made him such a special basketball player is he didn't quit. He kept going. He learned. He improved. So often Christians will give up because they don't understand something. They don't understand why this is happening in their life. And they stop serving because it just gets really difficult and it gets really challenging.
Or maybe they start relying on their own strength and they're trying to do it in their own talent and their own abilities and their own strength instead of leaning on the Lord for strength. It leads to discouragement. The question isn't, will you fail? But how will you respond when you fail? Will you get back up? Will you put your dependence on the Lord? And will you keep going forward? Paul's praying for him. He says, God, give him the strength to every single day to live for you, day after day. This is a verse that when I wake up, it's on my mind just about every day. And it kind of just comes into my mind most mornings as I'm just waking up and I'm thanking the Lord for waking up again another day and I'm giving us another day. Lamentations 3:22-23, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. I'm so thankful that I can come to the Lord every single day and he will give me the strength to keep going. It hurts, you know. Many people think that because preachers are preachers and ministry people are ministry people, that nothing really affects them, but it does. When you invest in somebody, you pray for somebody, and you see them walk out, and you see them gone. You see them step out of a ministry, and you see them slipping away. And we pray for them. And Paul's praying for these people at Colossae. He doesn't want to see them led astray because he knows that there are people waiting on every single corner to deceive these new Christians. And God knows that there's somebody on every corner here that wants to take you out of this place, take you to a false doctrine by using all kinds of different methods, and he'll get you any way that he can. I'm so thankful that I can come to the Lord and just rely on him, trust him for that strength to keep going day after day after day. You want to come to a place where you're encouraged. You want to come to a place where you are helped, where you are strengthened to continue on for Christ. That's why God gave us the local New Testament church. We need to be in God's house. We begin to step away from God's house and away from God's people. We need to be praying for one another as Paul prayed for these people in Colossae, people that he didn't even know. How much more so should we be praying for one another that we know right here amongst ourselves? Pray for strength. Pray for understanding. Pray that they would be fruitful in their lives. Pray for these young people. The world is a crazy place. And Christians are not looked upon as they were in previous generations. And there's a rough road ahead. But I'm thankful that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We need to encourage each other. In his commentary on the Old Testament, in the book of Judges, there was a really famed communicator, J. Vernon McGee. How many of you know J. Vernon McGee? Yeah. I listen to him often on one of my commentaries. He has an audio commentary, and I'll click on him and I'll listen to him, and it's a blessing. And he shares this firsthand experience that he had. Right before World War II, the city of Pasadena, California, was having its annual Rose Parade. And the float that was entered by the Standard Oil Company was covered with beautiful American Beauty roses. It was a sight to behold. And the theme of the parade was Be Prepared. And right in the middle of the parade, the Standard Oil Company's float ran out of gas. And it stopped right in front of J. Vernon McGee. All those that were viewing the parade. And he says, I couldn't help but laugh. If there's one float that should have never ran out of gas, it should have been the Standard Oil Company that had plenty of gas. You know what? If you're like this float, stuck, not moving forward, everything that you need to move forward can be found in Christ, in your relationship with Him, in His truth. The truth helps. The truth is going to get you through. The truth in Christ, anchored in the truth of Christ, being complete in Him, finding your love in Him, finding peace in Him, finding purpose in Him, finding everything that you need. It's found in Jesus Christ. Not these things, not the things that you're searching for, not relationships that are out there. Everything that you're searching for, it's found in Christ. Maybe today God's spoken to you and you've been listening to all the voices that oppose the truth or have their own truth. It's time to make the Bible your final authority. It's time to throw those other things away and say, you know what, God, I'm going to put those things aside and I'm just going to spend some time reading your word. And I'm going to ask you through the pages of scripture to speak to me because I know that all I need is found in you. And you gave me this book to search and pore over the pages and understand it and to memorize it and to love it and to cherish it and to make it part of my life. I can be complete and I have everything that I need to be successful in life, in the Christian walk. It can be found in you. Make the Bible your final authority. Have you accepted the truth of the gospel? Are you saved? Are you a child of God? Hell is a real place. But fortunately, heaven is a real place too. And salvation came by way of Jesus Christ dying on a cross for you and for me. He paid your price on the cross of Calvary with the shedding of His blood. He was laid in a tomb and He rose the third day, showing that He has power over death, the grave, and hell. He rose from the dead. That's why we celebrate. That's why we're here on a Sunday morning, because Christ arose and He gave us hope. 1 John 5, verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." You can know today. You can know today. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to guess. You can get it settled today. Then lastly, are you relying on God every day to sustain you? Are you relying on God every day to sustain you? Get connected to the source. Don't be in the parade and run out of fuel, okay? Get in the source. Get in the book. Get close to Him. Stay in church. I posted something the other day on Twitter and Facebook, and maybe I think that's where I posted it. And I said simply this: I'm so grateful that when I was growing up, my parents had the belief that we were going to be in church every time the doors were open. And maybe you've heard that phrase before, but that's true. We were there even when the doors were closed sometimes. And I'm like, why are we here so early, Dad? But he was an hour early to everything. So, you know what? Make a decision to put Christ first, to make Him preeminent in your life. Get connected to the source. Spend time praying for understanding, a fruitful life, the strength that you need, and for others. And I'm certain, if you're paying attention today, that God's spoken to you. We're going to have a time of invitation. And if God's spoken to you, then do business with Him today. Yes. Don't go out of this place with God speaking to you and you not speaking to Him. We don't like that when we do that. And we talk to somebody and they don't speak back to us. So why don't we take care of business with the Lord? Spend time with Him today. He loved you enough to send His Son to die on a cross and bleed for you. Let's do business with God. He deserves our very best today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness and your love, but I'm thankful for the truth.